Hello everyone. I'm Milan Antonovic. I work for the University of Applied Science and Arts of Southern Switzerland. And I'm going to present you the Borrow Data Management System, a web interface for borrow data acquisition, sponsored and financed by the Swiss Topological Office. Okay. So why the first 500 meters are so important? In below the ground, the first 500 meters are the most used today. 90% of all activity are done in this portion of the underground. And the borrow data reveal important information about the geological sequence of the layers. And thanks to this information, it is possible to have a very good overview of all the geological condition of the entire country. So what are today the common practices about producing this data? The most used approach is producing static data. These are generated by the geologist. Sometimes data are integrated into databases, and very rarely the standard the borrow are stored using standards. In Switzerland, the Swiss Topo produced a federal borrow data model, and the main focus is for the exchange of data, the usage and the quality. Having data in a standard format, we have data harmonization. So the level of details is well defined, the definition of the attributes are precise, and all the relations and the dependencies among the data are well known. Of course, the common language between stakeholders is also important. So last year, Swiss Topo financed SUPSI to develop a first application, a web application, because until this moment there was a desktop standalone application, but the user were asking to have something on the web that will be easier for sharing data with the Swiss Topo. So, how is the architecture of the system? We have mainly three modules. The first one is the web services. It's a Python implementation. It relies on some well-known open source softwares. And it offers a JSON API interface to interact with the data. And the second layer is a JavaScript API library that exposes all the requests of the web service to the web interface. So, and it's packaged in a NPM module, so it can be reusable for developing new application or extending. And at the top we have the user interface that relies on the other two modules. And everything is now is packed in a Docker, so it will be easy to install and also deploy in the cloud. So how it works? There are mainly two modes for usage, a viewer mode and an editor mode. The viewer mode is a read-only access that offers access to all the published data and offers some capability of searching, exploring with a map, and also export selected data in various formats. Up to now, PDF, CSV, and shapefiles. The editor mode is used by another kind of users that have to create new borrow, and the creation process go through a quality control flow. So this quality control process is relied on four steps, and there is also four kind of roles that user can have. The first one, the editor, is who produce the data, insert new data of borrow and stratigraphies. And then there is a controller that check the correctness of the data. Then there is a validator that check the in a legal way the data that are inserted, and finally the administrator that publish the data for the public. And at every step the validation can be reacted and ask for a new check. So data can have mainly three kind of status. The editing is while it is in the validation and the creation process. Validated data status, that is all data that have passed all the quality checks. And finally, the published data that are these data that are exposed to the public. User belong to different work groups. One user can be in more than one group. A user can have different roles for in every group. And users can only interact with data belonging to his work group. So this means that until data are published, work groups user can only view and manipulate data belonging to this work group. In the validation process, validators and editors and controllers can exchange some messages. So they can nominate also fields in the forms, so that it will be easier to see what is wrong and apply the modification requested. The application have a high degree of customization, so you can define which fields are visible or hidden. You can search with all the attributes. You can you have six display modes, and in the map you can select different WMS overlays. Exportation for in the viewer mode is quite easy. Just select what you want to export, and you can then download one or more kind of export files. So in the shapefile format, you just get the attributes of the borrow without the stratigraphy, and also the coordinates. In the CSV, you get everything. and in the PDF you get the stratigraphy representation in a graphical format. Okay, I can show you a small demo with the help of Massimiliano.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the viewer mode. So on the left you can see the filters, where now there are only a few one, but you can also select more than one filters to choose. So there are. So the viewer users can easily find the information that he's looking for, and then there is a graphical representation of the stratigraphy. Yeah, you can also zoom in, zoom out.
There is no wheels here, so
there's the mouse behind the laptop.
Ali.
Oh, thank you. This is because you know that generally stratigraphy is dependent, can be very thin, so you can zoom in and check what is it inside, and with the click you can see all the information related to the strata.
And then we can go to the editor mode. We are now in, have login as administrator, so we have all the roles. There is the multi-language support. So also here you can you have all your data in the validation process. You can filter by the states of the data or other kind of filters. Okay, on the left we have the three levels of data insertion. So the first is information about the location. The second one is about the borrow information. And in the last one, we can add one or more stratigraphy. And on the right side, we see this the validation part, where now we are we see that it has been reacted during the validation, and a technical check is needed. So this the process can go up and down until it is published. There is this. Lock and unlock feature, so only one user at a time can edit the data. And with this system you can nominate some fields that then, during the next validation process, when are rejected, and then they become red, so the user can faster find where are the problems.
So there is this flow part in the validations, and depending on the stage, you see this bar that shows and activate the mode to check or not. You can refer to different fields, and the fields get underlined in red where there is some issues related. So the data can go through this validation process until the end. And depending on the role of the logged user, you have different possibility or not to do some actions. Yes, maybe. Also this, that you can have more than one stratigraphy from one boreholes. This depends on the different interpretation. So the idea is to have maybe some more geological interpretation and then geotechnical interpretation, so that you can access directly to different information about the soil properties, because this is not unique interpretation of the stratigraphy. And yes, I don't know if there is anything more to add. And at the stage of the process of the project, now we are in the, let's say we finished the first prototype deployment that now is in demo for testing as we stop. And then from now to the end of the project, we have scheduled the completion of all the details for having the first released version. Okay.
To another slide.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. Thank you. Any questions?
Can you take the mic?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the presentation. I've been involved most of my professional life in capturing geological data and evaluating it. And for me, the biggest problem is at the sites, at the drill rig, logging the data. And you know, after the motto, garbage in, garbage out, if you don't have data entered in a common way, all the other technologies are not so useful. How are you dealing with that? You know, coming up with a common vocabulary for entering data. I mean, very simply, what do the headers look like in the spreadsheets or the CSV data that are input into the system? And further, you know, what standards are being followed? I mean, most of the world are probably following standards like ASTM, more for soils, and ISRM, more for rock mechanics, and they have vocabularies and they have recommendations and guidelines for how one can input data, or at least collect the data. How is all this being handled?
But in Switzerland, they have developed this borehole data model, and there is defined everything from the vocabulary to the ontologies to the patterns representing all these layers.
Maybe I can add maybe the this type of standard in Switzerland is what you can reflect with Inspire. You know, Switzerland is not part of Europe, but anyway is compliant with Inspire. So what they implemented at national levels, a strategy and implementing different data models for different topics. And they tend to be very, very compliant with international standards and Inspire.
So I don't know actually which kind of standard they use for a single type, but the ontology that they use, they take from normal standards. So also the patterns for colorings and all these kind of things, they use the international standards. And in the interface, when you enter the data, you are forced to select one of the options of the vocabulary that you have. You cannot, almost nowhere is free text to enter. Okay. And the general idea behind this interface, maybe to add some, is that when you apply for making a new borehole in Switzerland, you need to ask for the permissions. And local authority give you the permission and ask you to return back the data. And nowadays it's very difficult to check if the company then give back the data or not. And the idea is to have this interface so that when you give a permission, then you can also force them to give back the data in the platform. So you have the right formats, and at the same time, it's very easy to check who is late to give back the format and contact and why and etc. And then this platform should also range at different levels. So cantonal levels can collect their data and then push using the format, the standard format, to the federal levels. And then they decide if incorporate this in their portal, for example, Swisstopo or not, because some of the points are not of interest for the federal level and these kind of things. So this is try to harmonize all the flux of data from the user, the producer, to the publication.
Any other questions?
How many resources do you have to create this project? Like people who develop the project, or money, and so on?
We have the collaboration of two people from Swisstopo that coordinate the projects. And then in SUPSI we are three person, Milan, which is the main developer, then me, that helping some of the developers, and other people that more for the contacts and coordination of the things. From a budgetary, the whole things it's about $50,000-$60,000. Yeah, considering the Swiss salary standard, it's not much. Yeah. But of course, we are a university, so we have a different price respect to the. But we have also different interest in exploring and testing and developing new things.
How many users do you expect to use this system? The how many editors and how many just viewers?
At least
you don't know.
I don't know.
No, from the, we actually don't know how does this platform goes in the future, but generally discussing with the people from Swisstopo, we don't expect so many people using the platform, at least from this flow control process and things like that, maybe 100 or something like this. And as an editor, this is different. It depends how this can will be taken from local authorities. They give the permits and to people to enter the data. So if they take us and endorse the application to use for their day-to-day work, this can be used much. But I wouldn't expect 2,000 of concurrent users for this kind of application.
So last question.
Have you considered using functions instead of building standard stack? Like Lambda or Azure functions or Google functions, doing it directly into the cloud.
Serverless then.
Yeah.
Not really, because it's not just oriented on for the cloud and using Amazon or a specific framework. So the idea is to offer this application as a service on the cloud, but if someone, some the administration of some cantons or something want to use it, can install easily on their machines.
Thank you.
Thank you.